Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is our live weekly prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening live on First Amendment Radio or otherwise, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net and join us. If not, well, just keep listening wherever you're at. Keep your hands busy, keep your work going, and enjoy the broadcast. Okay, what do we got for today? Well, let's see. Let's start out with our scripture for the day. I have that here somewhere. 1 Thessalonians, starting at about chapter 4 and verse 10. We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And when he says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, I think he means outside of the kingdom of God, who are watching us, that we may lack nothing. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, should we be fortunate enough to live that long, shall be caught up together with them, that is, with those that were asleep and raised, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, that's powerfully packed. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that during the broadcast. See, what are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to continue in our second segment with an exposition of my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built, what the book actually says, and any other commentary I might have to add to that. So you're going to get an even better view than reading the book yourself, but you should get this book. You can get it for free. When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play will begin. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Go to the free ebook tab there and request. Follow the instructions. Of course, you have to subscribe to my blog. That's all I ask. And then leave a note saying, I subscribed, I shared. Please send me When the Third Temple is Built, or whichever one of our publications that we are offering in a PDF or EPUB form available there for you. We only ask that if you come back for a second book, that you write a review on Amazon for the previous book. Or if you have a website or a blog, write a review on your website or blog for my book. You don't necessarily have to do it on Amazon, though that's, I have to say, that's the place where everyone goes for book reviews, Amazon.com. That's why we'd like to have the review there. Pro, con, just be honest about the book, what you really thought, and, you know, comparing it to certain Bible scriptures or whatever, or just a brief note saying that how the book affected you, whether you recommend it or not. Okay, that's all I can ask, is for people to be honest. And we do need more reviews over on Amazon. Okay, let's see. I think WW in the chat room, I believe that was WW, was it? Somebody, oh yes, WW in the chat room as usual. Thomas over there on the other coast, if he's still over there, left me a couple, some articles. I didn't want to toot the Pope's horn too much, so I'm going to skip the articles from the Antichrist, unless he has something really relative to current prophecy to reveal to us. So welcome to the chat room, Dale, Al, Charles Christopher, there, CCF, studio, that's me, Wacky, WW, and Blue Raven. Well, I guess we'll just jump into, we need something to lighten our day, so WW sent me this one, Flat Earth Rocket Man. Yeah, I'll put this on the screen here. Flat Earth Rocket Man will take to sky in February. Mad Mike Hughes is a, I think he's a chauffeur or something, isn't he? Trying to get, just jumping on the Flat Earth wagon because it's a popular diversion from reality these days. Very popular diversion from reality. Of course, Flat Earthers, they believe the Earth is flat if you can't prove that NASA went to the moon. They believe the Earth is flat if GPS might be a hoax. Of course, they have absolutely no, they never have to prove that the Earth is flat. They're kind of like futurists. They never have to verify any of their prophecy because it's all speculation about the future. So what a nice position to be in, where you can, you never have to verify your position. Unlike the historicists, we have to verify everything. But we have a lot of precedent to go on as far as historicism is concerned, because, you know, it was prophesied that Jesus would come, and he came. It was prophesied the 70 weeks unto Messiah the Prince, and Jesus showed up on the scene when he was about 30 years old, of age to qualify as our high priest. 3.5 years later, he made the sacrifice and put an end to the oblation and sacrifice in the midst of the week by the sacrifice himself. So we have a lot of historical precedent upon which to base the historicist method of interpreting prophecy. And, you know, to tell you a little secret, the futurists would be lost without the historicist method, because they would not have, Christ would have never showed up if not for the historicist method. And all of the 70 weeks period of prophecy revealed beforehand in Daniel chapter 11. You can read about all the machinations that Daniel gave us, the 70 weeks prophecy. And then he gave us an exposition of all the political machinations during that would take place during that period. Kind of like the Revelation does for the church era, you know, following the writing of the book of Revelation in just at the end of the first century by John. He said, these are the things which must shortly come to pass. And it wasn't him speaking, it was Christ speaking. It was Jesus' revelation to his church given to the apostle John there on Patmos. And he said, these things must shortly come to pass. And their commencement, you know, as to their commencement, they did shortly come to pass. He didn't say these things are going to come to pass after 2,000 years. He said shortly come to pass. And he reinforced that more than several times throughout the book of Revelation. So if you want to use the flat earth method of Bible interpretation, it's pretty much like the futurist method of Bible interpretation, conjecture and speculation. That's all it is, conjecture and speculation. So the Flat Earth Rocket Man, he's going to be taking to the sky. This guy's kind of a clown. I think, you know, I'm not sure he really cares about Flat Earth or whatever. He's certainly not helping the Flat Earth movement. You know, what we need is some kook out there to be the, what do they call him, mascot for our movement. So they got the Flat Earth Rocket Man. And, you know, he flies his rocket, you know, 3 miles. He doesn't even go straight up, I don't think. But he, you know, he flies a couple miles over the desert, and hopefully his parachutes work. He's done this like, you know, at least I think 3 times already. I watched one of his videos and his parachute came out behind his rocket before the rocket was done burning and burned his parachute half up, put him in the hospital, and he was walking with a walker for some number of months. So he was fortunately that, his rocket engine didn't burn the entire parachute up, or, well, he wouldn't be here for a third event, okay? And I guess he built his rockets himself. Anyway, like I said, good for a laugh. There, yeah, really good for a laugh. Yeah, if you're interested in the flat earth and all that stuff, I wrote an article on my website. And if you go to my website, let's go there right now. And you'll see, oh, in the left-hand column over here, yeah, it says now trending, very popular, now the most read article, right before, The Empire of the City, which used to be my most read article until this flat earth mania took off. And I tried to straighten out people what the Bible really says. The Bible specifically outlines a spherical earth for us. And if you read this article, you'll see that. Okay. All of the logical fallacies involved with believing in a flat earth are just, I mean, it's a comedy hour, except not very many people are laughing. They're really taking this seriously. But okay. But anyway, I can straighten you out there. So, and also, take advantage of this. We just published, volume 1 of the Horae Apocalypticae. It says up here, right here, it says, let me go to the page. This is our Lulu page here, where it's available. And this is our Reformation Quincentennial Edition. Finally gone through it with a fine tooth comb and perfected it, you know, as far as a human can perfect a book. I think it's actually better than the original publication now. Changed a little bit of the sentence structure because a lot of it was archaic and kind of very difficult to understand some of the sentence structure, but tried not to change the meaning of anything. So we didn't. We didn't change the meaning of anything. Just tried to make it a little bit easier read. And I would say that our grammatical corrections would be, you know, maybe less than 1%. So not really a whole lot of change. Just trying to make it flow and read a little easier. All of the original footnotes for the reference works that he used and the original exhibits are in there, along with all of the original Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. We did move the majority of the Latin, Greek, and Hebrew to the footnotes so that it could be readable by anybody without tripping over and stumbling on the Latin and the Greek and the Hebrew. For the scholars, it's there in the footnotes, so it's still available. But we tried to make it easier to read for the common man, like me, kind of. So anyway, it's done there. And this is the hardback cover. It's also available in softback. That's a little bit less money. And I'm working right now, because I just finished volume 1, I'm working on volume 2. So that will be out probably by the end of next month, and we'll do 3 and 4. And I'm certain by this summer, that's the plan, is to have it all done by the summer. So this is taking a lot of my time right now. That's why I'm doing a lot of rebroadcasts during my program during the rest of the week. And I hope everyone's enjoying those and will continue to enjoy them so that I can focus on getting this Reformation Quincentennial Edition of the Horae Apocalypticae perfected and done finally once and for all. So you can find it. And also, if you'd like to check out without buying it, I'm, you know, we give everything away here for free. So you don't have to buy anything. Some people just like to have this, and this is a nice hardcover edition here, available for your library. Like I said, also available. If you scroll down, you'll see I put a comment on that, this page that we link to from my website. It says, this, our final edition and edit, involved hundreds of additional hours to perfect, and it will as we continue to publish the next three volumes. The text may be reviewed at horreapocalyptica.wordpress.com. So you can actually read it on the internet. Yeah, you don't even have to buy it. So we foolishly, I guess probably according to the world, we foolishly give everything away. Even if that means we have to live in poverty most of the time. So, but, you know, this is my commission from the Almighty, so I have to offer it both ways, for sale and for free. So and there's a link here in this page that we link to in the comments if you want to get the paperback edition. And the paperback is just a regular paperback edition. Okay, speaking of the Horre Apocalypticae, in our second hour, which I was almost getting to, we are going through History of Apocalyptic Interpretation by E.B. Eliot, and this is a 250-page volume which we are going through, and I hope everybody's finding it interesting. I love reading these over and over, so I don't mind doing it on the air. And this is also a supplement, because I pulled this out of the appendix of Volume 4 of the Horre Apocalypticae. Okay? And so there will be a new supplement that will be part of the four-volume set with anything else. But I think this is probably the only thing that was worthy of pulling out and making an actual printing it as a standalone item, History of Apocalyptic Interpretation by E.B. Eliot. And I noticed some people have bought that from Lulu Press or Amazon or wherever you buy these things from. But it's available all worldwide, so people can take advantage of E.B. Eliot's insight on the history of apocalyptic interpretation without having to read old PDFs online or having to buy the old volume, the whole volume of the Horre Apocalypticae set. Okay, so that's available too there. Okay, now we're going to, we were talking about Rocket Man. So let's continue talking about Rocket Man now that we've got to all the asides. Mad Mike Hughes wants to go to space. This guy, he never go into space. I don't even think he reaches the clouds, but whatever. Maybe he can dream while he's sailing across the desert, defying, you know, foolishly putting his life at risk. And hopefully he'll live through this, which will be his next excursion into faux space. Yes, there's space out there. Here, there's space between my fingers. Notice? Yeah, so he wants to go to space. Well, he's already in space, but just not outer space. And he's not waiting around for anyone to help him get there, so he's going to build his own rocket and get to space on his own. The reason he wants to get into space is so he can prove to everybody that the world is actually flat. So, of course, he's not asking NASA for help. What a clown, man. You know, I mean, if the Earth is flat, there's a dome with stars attached to it, like flat earthers believe. Isn't his rocket going to hit the dome and crash? And once it smushes up against the dome, then he's just going to fall down to the ground. You know, they call splat. Yeah, this guy has no intention of going to space. He's just a glory seeker. He's like an evil Knievel guy, you know, that, and, you know, more power to him. We need more entertainment on this earth. Besides people being glued to little things in cyberspace and simulated reality, right? Let's have guys out there really crashing things into the desert and risking their lives for our entertainment. Okay, according to an announcement that Hughes made on his Facebook page, the launch is going to happen for real this time, but not for fake, on private land that won't get the BLM involved. The date is set for February 3rd, so mark your calendar and don't blink. Okay? Best of luck, Mike. By the way, the earth is round. You know, like I said, I don't think the guy cares whether the earth is round or flat. He's just jumping on the flat earth thing. Flat earth rocket. Oh, what fun, huh? Okay, we have another article here. This one from the Land Down Under, quickly. And this one, this is from WW. Good day, mate. 1.7 billion year old chunk of North America found in Australia. They got a lot of white space there, don't they? And a picture of the Earth. Rocks recently discovered in Australia bear striking similarities to those found in North America, a study finds. Yeah, so let's, hey, look, don't these look like rocks that are in North America? Guess what? This must be because North America was here at one time. And, you know, I'm just going to guess that it was 1.7 billion years ago. And this is the fake news, probably, that the Pope and Donald Trump was talking about. The rocks were found in Georgetown, Queensland, Australia, which is roughly some 250 miles west of some other part of the continent. Scientists believe that one region, what's now modern day Australia, was once attached to North America, but broke away 1.7 billion years ago. This is the same kind of nonsense as flatter science, you know? Method of interpreting reality. Well, 1.7 million billion years ago. That sounds like a good number. Let's use that one. You know, let's pull numbers out of thin air. After drifting around for some 100 million years, the chunk eventually crashed into what's now Australia, forming the supercontinent Nuna. Researchers then determined that when Nuna broke apart, an estimated 3 million years afterwards, that chunk of land did not drift away. It instead became a new piece of real estate permanently stuck to Australia. Oh, well, nothing gets more fun than that method of interpreting reality. Okay, you're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll return in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.